If you're joining us online right now, we want to welcome you to Navigation Church. You're either watching through the app, YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't think all that's right, but most of it is. We want to welcome you online. We want to welcome you joining us here today. Here's what it is. We're going to be talking about a party this morning. And if anyone is qualified to talk to you about a party, it's me. Number one, I go by the phrase party animal. And that also is not all the way true. This past weekend, here in the city of Collinsville, we had something known as the Italian Fest. Do you know what that is? Okay, so I had a little something to do with it, and basically it meant that I had to be there the whole time. And I was at the Italian Fest the whole time, and something interesting happened with the Italian Fest. We started planning for this party 9 months ago. 9 months ago. And there was never a time during the party planning that we said this: who don't we want to come? Here's what we said: how do we get everybody there? And, well, what about the people who aren't going to buy food? I don't care, have them there. What about people who do or don't like me? I don't care, have them there. There was never a time that we qualified who we wanted to come to the party. We want everybody to come to the party. And guess what? Over this past weekend, everybody came to the party. How many people in here came to Italian Fest? Okay, there you are. So a lot of you came. And so here's why I found, number one, I knew we were talking about partying today. But I actually remembered a time that I was at a wedding where at Italian Fest, I felt like I was invited to be at the party. But let me tell you about a party that I wasn't really invited to. So here's a little insider baseball for you, for pastors. We're not much higher than the caterers when it comes to a wedding. I know you don't want to believe that, but when someone calls you and goes, "Can you marry me?" Here's what they're actually saying: your signature can be put on the document, mine can't. So is this too insider? This is true.
Insider information.
Insider information. Now, sometimes when you're connected with us, we want to be a part of the wedding. But when someone just randomly calls you, all they're needing is for you to stand in front of them and say some words. And I was at a wedding one time. I promise you this. I wasn't connected hardly at all with these people. But the reason I did the wedding is so that I could connect with them. After the wedding, we go to the reception, right? We're at the reception. We're going along for a little bit. Someone comes up to me and goes, "Hey, how long are you sticking around?" I go, "Haven't really thought about it." And here's what they said to me: "The party always gets better once the preacher leaves." I stuck it out through the night. No, I'm kidding. I rolled out pretty fast. Why? Because one party I felt welcome to, and I stayed there the whole time. But when you don't feel welcome to a party, guess what? It's awkward. And so here at Navigation Church, we have open parties.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we reflect on what parties mean. So what I'm saying is sometimes we remember the parties that we went to that weren't so good.
Sure.
Maybe some of you over the weekend went to the party and there was moments it wasn't so good, you know. You've seen things, you heard things, maybe you didn't want to. That was too much information. But there's something about a party, and I was following people on Facebook and looking at people that were at the Italian Fest, and they did something all the time. They took their cell phone and they decided to take a selfie. So here's what I'm asking you to do real quick. As we're getting this party going, if you have a cell phone, if you have a phone today, take it out and take your best selfie today. Come on, I know you do this. I know you do it when you're at the parties and you're grinning and smiling, you're hanging out with your friends. So take this selfie, tag the church in it, and then tag Nav Values, hashtag Nav Values. Because I know this church.
So the four of you that I just watched you flip your phone open, it's probably not going to work with you. So if you didn't swipe to open it, don't worry about this.
We'll
catch up with you in a little bit.
A little dated.
Hashtag offends old people. So roll on, keep moving.
Elderly, old. You can use any of those hashtags that you like. Nav Elder. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, as we're kind of rolling into this message, I want to just prep you just a little bit. We're having fun. We're having a good time. And I love it. I love people coming in and they're ready. I heard one guy one time tell me, you know, he loves that he can come to Navigation Church and it's fun. I think serving God should be a whole lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're kingdom builders. We're part of a great universe that God has created. The heavens right here with us, kingdom being established, God in heaven rejoicing with us, even this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to rejoice with us when we see one get baptized, two get baptized. For the one, God rejoices
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
And so we are a church about partying. We believe in it. But I'm going to mention this. It's called the law of first mention. Law of first mention. You might have not heard of this before. I don't know if you know what that means. But here's the way I look at it. It's a guideline. It's a guideline, the Bible first mention of a concept. And so we want to follow what's throughout the whole Bible.
Bible's
not just
consistent.
One part of it, not just some in the New Testament. We can go all the way back. Mm-hmm. And so we can go all the way back to the book of Leviticus. I know.
That's a page turner.
Who wants to study that? No. So I'm quickly just going to reference that. That in Leviticus, it talks about festivals.
Yep.
Then you go through the Old Testament, you talk about feasts. And so you talk about these moments that people came together and they remembered something and they celebrated. So celebration and partying, I believe, goes all the way back to almost the beginning of time when God said, heaven, he created man and woman, he created law, he created festivals, and he brought the body together. Mm-hmm. And bringing them together, there was partying.
Absolutely.
It was a community of people, one mission, to lift, to praise, to celebrate. You can even look into the New Testament. You can look at the first miracle in John chapter 2. And some of us might get hung up on something because it's Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine.
For a party.
And usually at those parties, they brought out the best first.
Yeah.
But something occurred and mother came to Jesus and said, I need you to do something. Need you to take care of this and create and do what you do. Mm-hmm. And Jesus created the best and he brought the best out. I believe right now that in our congregation, in this church, that the best is here.
Come on.
Jesus is the best. You are the best you can be because God created you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can look in chapter, the book of Luke, chapter 14. There was a great banquet going on. And all I want to do is paraphrase this just a little bit. Jesus invited to a Pharisee's house. Pharisees were the religious people. Jesus comes into this house. There's some excuses going on. There's excuse after excuse taking place. But he told his servants in this parable, told the servants to go out and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Went out, brought them in. It says, there's still room. So go back out. Still go and make them come in to the house so it's full. Go make them come in. I'm thinking, go make them. So are we taking an arm and we're just getting them and we're bringing them in here today? Are we learning by the best officers we got in here and how we can take people down and poke them certain places?
What was that ninja skills coming out there?
I saw an officer the other night sitting on my couch and some of the kids that were there and older, and he's showing them, like, you hit right here, you can put somebody, you grab right here, and if you poke right here, they go. So is that what we're teaching today? We're going,
no.
Go make them come in here.
Just to clarify, going to jump to the end here. No on that one.
But
we're
go compel them.
Compel them.
Compel them to come in. So compel them to come into this party.
Yeah, so when we're compelling, we compel because they see the life in us, and they ask the question, how do I get the life that you're living? And it compels them to come in. And so really with this law I first mentioned, here's why we're saying this. Anytime something first shows up in the Bible, it's going to be known for this the rest of the time. So Jesus Christ, who we're here worshiping today, died. He was put on a cross, died, put into the tomb. 3 days later, he was raised again. And then after 40 days, he's ascended into heaven. He says to his disciples, he goes, go wait in the upper room for me. But someone just like me is going to be coming behind me. And when this someone comes in behind me, don't worry, you're going to know about him. And so if you've never heard this before, we are an Acts 2 church. We are a New Testament church. Amen. We are a new covenant church. So when it comes to our covenant, when it comes to our beliefs, when it comes to who we are as a church, what is one of the, can we say this, core values that we always have to live by? Well, let's read Acts chapter 2. And by the way, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading here. So just stay with me because then we're going to break it down in a few areas. It said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place. Pentecost, Pente 50. So it was the week of the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks of 7 days, plus the Sabbath, 50 days later. And this was actually a time where every able-bodied male Jew would have to travel to Jerusalem to give a part of one of the festivals, an offering to God. So this great situation has just occurred. God told everyone to come to Jerusalem thousands of years earlier. All these men are here, and all of a sudden, suddenly, verse number two, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they had been sitting. Has anyone ever been through a tornado before? Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard that it sounds like a freight train coming towards you? Okay, a freight train 2,000 years ago came through this upper room, if you can get that picture. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came resting on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse number five, now they were in Jerusalem, the God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why? It was the Feast of Weeks. They were required, so they were all there. When they heard this sound of a freight train, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they go, aren't these guys, here's really what, uneducated Galileans. Like, aren't these guys like non-educated fishermen and carpenters? Then how is it that each one of us hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, regions of Mesopotamia. See, I've lost you on this one. Okay. Hispanics were there. Germans were there. Ready? Australians and English were there. Wait, that's us. If you've ever heard an Australian, come on now. So you have all these different nationalities that speak all these different languages, and they're going, wait a second, we hear these guys speaking in our language. So here's what their rationales was. At verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they ask each other, what does this mean? Some said, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. So here's two things you need to know about alcohol. Number one, you apparently can't get drunk at 9 in the morning. Number two, if you do drink enough, you can all of a sudden speak other languages. It's amazing. I've never known that before. But just two bits of insight you should never experience. But here, so when Paul got up and he started telling everybody, I need to explain this to you, he looked back at an Old Testament prophet named Joel and he said, this is what this guy was talking about. And you remember David in Psalms, this is what he's talking. This is that that's been promised to us. And all these guys are listening to these Galileans speak to them in their own native language. And in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter, I love this, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, pleaded with them, compelled them, as Brent was saying earlier, compelled them, pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Verse 41, those who accepted that message were baptized, and about 3,000... Guys, they started with 11. The party grew to 3,000. When we talk about Acts 2 New Testament church, a party breaks out when God shows up. So that's that point one. There you go.
Absolutely.
Party shows up.
No, I love as you kind of walk through this. As we started walking through the book of Acts, you just started seeing things that were highlighted. And we started seeing how it fit into our desire for a church and having that as one of our key values. And so even early in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were all together in one place. Yep. But suddenly a sound occurred. Yeah. So my heart said, man, this is the church. This is God's church. And it was a sound. It was a different sound. They had never heard before. Mm-hmm. I would think they were pretty stunned and amazed at what is going on right here. What is this sound? When I think of the sound of Navigation Church, I think, are we beating a little different today? Does God have a sound specifically for this house? How are we loving our community? How are we reaching out to people? What kind of doors are opened in this house? Do we have people that are actually responding to people that are compelled to come and meeting them even in the parking lot.
Yeah.
To say, we love you and we welcome you here. Yeah. Yeah. When they walk through the doors, do we have people set up? Here's what's great. This is not just a job for these workers out there.
Sure.
They are compelled to compel others to come in. They are excited and ready to party with you as you walk through these doors. So we set up and we are intentional. We were talking about, you had mentioned the festivals earlier and how long and the preparation that went in. I can tell you this, that we are preparing the house for people to come in. Mm-hmm. We are preparing nav groups for people to come in. We are preparing children's ministry for people to come in. Student ministries for young teenagers to come in. So we are compelled, but a different sound. People spent time with Jesus. It says right here that they were all together in one place. We are all together in one place right now. Would you believe with me that God can meet you right here?
Yeah, absolutely.
In one moment, things changed. And it wasn't for just the guys in the upper room. It was open. It was being, the sound was compelling others to come. They were interested in that sound. They were confused maybe what was that sound about. Peter then shared with them what that sound was about. He spoke to the crowd. So we create space here. People were willing to be intersection. Here it is. People are, how can I say this? All of us sitting in this room, God is preparing for you to stand and be the hands and feet for God. You can reach into someone's life. You can compel someone else that I will never compel to come. The sound that's in your heart will compel others to come. The sound in the church will compel others to come. Are we that sound? Are you that sound? Be the sound God wants us to be. The party. It wasn't for them. It was for outside of the walls. The party we're creating in here is to compel others to come too. See, when you're intentional as a church, when you're intentional as an individual, people will be drawn. See, as the Italian festival was being planned and prepared and Pastor David was there all those hours and pouring in. At that moment, he wasn't compelling people to come. They were already coming because of all the intentionality that took place the weeks, the days before. They were drawn then. Why do people drive by and go, you know what, I think I'll stop into navigation today. We've prepared the place. You're prepared hearts as individuals to compel. And to be the sound. Pastor.
So it's just as he's talking, I'm obviously getting inspired despite the fact that we talked about this ahead of time. I love the thought that they met God in the upper room, but in reality, the party isn't for us. Mm-hmm. When we first get saved, you know, we think the Bible is all about us. But then we start getting into the Bible and we realize, wow, the Bible changes us. We can be about other people. And so what happens, though, when all of a sudden God touches you? Spill out onto the street, you start speaking different languages, and ready for this? This party is going to attract different people. Yeah. So how do you feel if someone kind of crashes your party that doesn't believe like you do politically? What do you do when someone crashes you, your party, and doesn't believe your sexual beliefs and orientations and all that? What do you do with that? What do you do when they show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, right, drunk, speaking a different language? It very much sounds like this, you know, but yeah. What do you do when people of different cultures and minds start coming in together? Would you be okay to have your party being crashed? Wait, it can only be crashed if it's not open. But if it's an open party for someone else, you need to know you're going to attract different people.
Yep.
See, I find it interesting because I had a... this sermon isn't supposed to be about Italian Fest, but it seems like it keeps circling back there, so here we go. I talked to an individual that couldn't believe that I would chair the really probably the biggest party the city of Collinsville has. And he said, as a church, I can't believe that you would do that. But I think just a little bit different, because this past weekend, 10 churches were involved with the biggest party in Collinsville. So I think we have one of two options. Option number one, we stay in the upper room with flame hats going on, looking at them, going, I can't believe you're acting like this. Or option two, we get in the party with them, and instead of condemning them for their thought, for their actions, we're holding their hair back while they're throwing up. We're sitting there in their darkest moments, in their dirtiest moments, and we say, we are going to spill out on the streets with you. Because we want to speak a language that you speak to do one thing, to tell you about that which was spoken by the prophet of Joel, that which was written in the Psalms by King David, that which Jesus Christ died for. And guess what? We could have kept the party to ourselves, but we would have to stay in the upper room. But do you know what happens to a flame when you cut off oxygen? That even dies. So we can get all in the in God, feeling good, fired up, close it off, and all of a sudden we're going, oh, now there's smoke. Yeah, there's smoke because you're smothering it. But if we open the doors and let that oxygen, guess what? We are going to attract different kinds of people. But the question is, will we stand from a distance with our own language condemning them, or will we speak their language and connect with them?
Yeah, when you don't say,
no, put your hands together. It was great. Sleep deprived.
So, touch base on that. So when you're, when the church has smothered, has that done more harm than good? So shouldn't we begin to express what we are for? Shouldn't we start expressing that this is actually joyous and it is a celebration and it is a good time when we're with God and we know God and we're walking with Him and you're talking to your friends? Do you think for some reason that because Pastor was chairing the Italian Fest, that now all of a sudden he is, oh God, we don't want nothing to do with him? Well, some of you might.
Yeah,
you
that know, happened way before then, but don't judge.
Tony, come here and share a story. Or should we create an atmosphere that actually you're smiling about serving God? That when you go, here it hits home, when you go to a doctor's appointment and they don't have it correct, and you were supposed to have this, or you think this, and you start throwing a little tantrum. How much of God is being shown at that moment?
Not much.
If you're, here we go, if you're working there, and you go to this church, and you have somebody from this house walk in, and they throw a little party, but it's a negative party, it's an anger party, they're frowning, causing, do you really want to say, oh, that they go to my church. Whoa.
Okay, I got to jump in. Here's an Italian Fest party.
Oh, here we go.
Last night, we're driving down a back alley, dropping something off. And as the guy with me, he goes, that was a goat. I go, that wasn't no goat. Came around, dropped it off, came back around. It was a goat. It absolutely was a goat. Come to find out later, he was passing out tracts for Team Christ, going, are you a goat or a sheep? And he was doing it with a goat, and I kind of said this, he doesn't play for my team. Like, it was interesting. I didn't want to, but I was sitting there going, listen, I appreciate you throwing your party, but that's going to be more like a Tupperware party, and people only come because they feel guilty, versus like an actual party that people, unless you sell Tupperware and you tithe, then we love you. You need to start back over because I'm on a roll. So no,
I could start pointing at people.
Yeah, right.
Products.
So listen, if the party is about manipulation, no one's going to come. But when it's an authentic celebration of the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, forget about it.
Absolutely. Peter comes into the picture in Acts, and he begins to share to the crowd. He begins to talk to the crowd. Who is Peter? Some of us that have been going to church for a while know who Peter is. One of the disciples. Peter, a hothead, reminds me of someone. And Peter.
That's him. If you don't, that's him, not me.
Well, you were the one riding apart on somebody the other day
Well, they broke into our building, and I busted them. That's a story for another time. Follow us on Facebook. I'll tell you about it.
But something happens. So they hear the sound. The crowd gathers, and Peter begins to share to the crowd. But we're trying to figure out who Peter was. Peter, outspoken. One of the 12, Peter, was one of the guys that cut off an ear when something was going to happen. He just got, I'm just like Peter. Because I said, when this situation happened over here, when I heard those boys were showing up again to vandalize the building, my response was, oh, I wish I would have been there. And then I thought about that, and I probably wouldn't have been the best response by a pastor in navigation in Collinsville to respond with a fist. That would have probably been the wrong response.
We call that the fivefold ministry, but
that's all it is. Pastors. Peter gets aggressive. Peter also, though, he got to the point where he denied Jesus. And I think of a little girl. And I think of Peter like this large man. And he gets ashamed to say he loves Jesus in front of a 12-year-old. 10-year-old girl. This is Peter. Left his career as a fisherman to follow Jesus. You see all these elements of Peter's life and you go, wow, it resembles a lot of us, you know, where you take steps forward and you love God, but then you take steps backwards when you fall, and you take steps backwards when your heart maybe gets the best of you at times. Yeah. Peter. But you know what was awesome about Peter? As he stood there with the crowd, and that 3,000 people, 3,000 people responded to repent and give their hearts to Jesus, give their hearts to God. What would we do if 3,000 people walked in the door right now?
It would work.
3,000. You think about the work. That's where we go.
Yep.
Everybody else having a good time. We're thinking about the amount of time and the amount of work, but 3,000 responded. How many of us are not ashamed? Not ashamed to make mistakes, but not ashamed to share the gospel. Peter made mistakes, but he also wasn't afraid to share the gospel. Respond to that today. Are you in your workplace? Are you at the next doctor's appointment? Are you at the grocery store? How many times have I fallen short when I'm driving the kids around to school and being Uber? How many times have I yelled at the car in front of me? Oh.
Every day, his wife said, just so, in case you didn't hear it, those online, it was every day.
I'm repenting every moment.
I'm so glad I could hear that. That was great.
So, you're not alone. We make mistakes. We fall short. God still desires to use each one of us. Use you. Think of that. Use you to compel others to come to know Jesus. Use you to compel others to show up at Navigation Church. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Respond. Respond. Amen.
So when it comes to our, can I say this, our party theology. I know that may sound weird. Our party theology. We need to all be on the same page. First of all, this party isn't about us.
That's right.
It's for others. But when we throw these parties, we're going to attract different types of people. But when we attract them, we will be able to speak their language. Amen. I don't have to go kill somebody to be able to talk to a murderer. Because Jesus didn't have to steal to talk to one of the tax guys. We will be able to talk their language. But I will, here's something we all got to know. When it shows up, these parties are work. How many have ever thrown a big party and afterwards it cleaned it up by itself? Absolutely not. My wife does a great job, so I need to say no now, but she does most of the heavy lifting there. But listen, parties are work, and when people come in, it's going to be work.
Yeah.
So in just a moment, I want to actually read you our core value. But before we do this, this party today is going to keep going. Amen. And here's how we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate it through baptism. So if you're here today, we know we have four people already pre-signed for baptism. If you want to, Pastor Brent's going to make his way over to my left, your right. If you are getting baptized, if you could make your way that way, Tony, if we could get the band back up here with me, I have one final thought I kind of want to share with you to close it down. But then, guys, we are going to continue the party when it comes to baptisms and our faith in Jesus Christ. Before we do that, could you put your hands together? Thank Pastor Brent for being up here with me. Let's be honest. I kind of feel like he did most of the work, so good job, Pastor Brent. These core values that we have, these core values that we've been talking about, we've been working on them for 2 years. And for 2 years, we had 8, and then we had 7. And then I think it grew to 32 because we brainstormed. And then what we kept asking ourselves is, what is the thing that we say all the time? What are the actions that we're going to have that we now need to put words to it? Because you know what the worst thing that you can do with core values is hang them on the wall but not live them down the hall. For us, we're going to live the core values of a party. Why? And so I'm going to put this up. I want to read it. And then I'm going to ask all of you to read it with me. And here's what it is. When it comes to a party theology, party, we intentionally celebrate what the Lord has done, is doing, and is about to do in our life. I want to say this. If you connect with the creator of the universe, but yet you come to church and say, man, that was boring, one of the two things can't be true. If you come face to face with the lover of your soul, when you come face to face with the God who died for you, but then you come out and say, church isn't fun, I would say one of the two. So if your faith doesn't have fun, I think it may be fake. Okay, that is a big statement to say. But I wake up and celebrate every day because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know what he has done. I know what he is doing, and I almost dream sometimes what's about to come. So could we all say this together? Just repeat this after me, party. We intentionally celebrate what the Lord has done, is doing, and is about to do in our lives. Have you ever started to throw a party and you say to yourself, well, they probably won't want to come? Has anyone ever done that? And you say, well, this isn't really their type of thing, or this isn't their type of personality, or they don't really fit in this group. And so in order for you to not be rejected by them, you put your no on them. Does that make sense? Have you ever done that before? I wonder, when it comes to the party of God, how many times do we project our fear of failure onto someone else and we say no for them? I need to tell you this today. We are an open party. We are a party that you can belong before you believe. We are a party that connects where you're at because we believe you're going to take the next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We can do a party because I can tell you about those that have been hooked on drugs. I can tell you about those who have lost someone. I can tell you about those who have cut themselves and they're not doing it anymore. I can tell you about a pastor who used to not be able to serve at something like the Italian Fest because he warred with his own demons. But now I can stand in that mist and I can speak life and I'm not afraid of what comes out of my mouth because I've changed. You know why? Because God did it to me then. He's doing something now and he'll continue to do something in the days to come. So I can party there because I love to party here. And I've tasted this party, and once you dance with God, you won't want anybody else to be your partner. So why do we party? Because in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Because Jesus Christ died for us. So I'm going to ask the band to come down a little bit. I got energetic. You got loud. My voice is sore. I don't want to scream. I want to tell you this. If you're here today and you've been seeking life in all the wrong parties, I want to tell you, about the greatest coordinator of celebrations in human history. This guy did something that no one else could do. This guy performed miracles that no one else has ever seen. This guy is a man named Jesus, a God man. Why? Because he's God in heaven. And when mankind couldn't do for themselves, he stepped out of eternity into time, clothed himself in flesh, really to do this, to die for us. He freely gave himself to Roman soldiers. It's a story about Peter cutting off an ear. Peter was trying to stop these Roman soldiers from taking Jesus, whipping his back till eventually muscles and bones were exposed, shoving a crown of thorns onto his head, spitting in his face, ripping out his beard, punching him, mocking him, to strip him naked, to eventually put nails in his wrists and his feet, to then resurrect him or erect him in front of all of society and say, this guy is a criminal. And as he hung there, beaten, bloody, and bruised, he said this, God forgive him, because they think they know the party they want, but I'm about to show them the party they need. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And with that, he breathed out his last breath and he died on that cross. The disciples, they freaked out. They went, wait, we've been following this guy. This is a guy we've given 3 years to. And 3 days later, a female. Now, that sounds not a big deal, but in those days, females were treated like property. So Jesus came to the most least likely person and said, I'm going to show myself to you first. Tell the world that I've conquered sin and death. Next thing you know, the disciples are with him. They're celebrating this victory. 40 days later, Jesus goes, I'm leaving. Just go hang out in the upper room. The disciples go, okay. And Jesus went up to heaven and they stayed there. Eventually, an angel came down and goes, why are you still here? He said to go to the upper room. Oh, okay, go to the upper room. Got it. They go to this upper room. And I love in Acts, it says suddenly. Suddenly was 10 days later. My definition of suddenly and his definition of suddenly are two different things. Because here's my definition of, hey, dear Jesus, I need $100. Oh, look what I found, $100. That's suddenly. Not resume after resume. Doctor visit after doctor visit, counselor after counselor, friend after friend, and then suddenly 3 years later, God freed you. God's definition of suddenly are different, but here's the beautiful thing. When suddenly occurs, your life changes forever. And this suddenly could happen because of what Jesus Christ did for you. So if you're here today, we're about to do a huge celebration that we want you to know about. These people are going to be getting into this water because Jesus got into the grave. Jesus went into the ground just like they're going to go into the water. But then they're going to come up out of the water just like Christ came out of the grave. And it's our way of saying, I identify with what he did so I now can become what he's called me to be. And I want to give you the same opportunity to say yes to Jesus like they did. So in this place, I'm going to ask all eyes to be closed. Kind of isolate yourself from your friend. If you feel like I want to know Jesus, but I'm holding someone's hand, drop their hand because in a minute I may ask you to raise yours. If you're sitting here this morning, you're hearing this party theology, this story about a man named Jesus, this helper by the name of the Holy Spirit, and something inside of you feels empty. You feel like you don't know what I'm saying, but there's an answer to the question you've been seeking. I'm going to ask you this very simple question. Do you want to give your life to Jesus because he gave his life for yours? If you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and become a follower of his, I'm going to ask you just to simply raise your hand into the air so that I can see you. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to know that you are identifying with what we're talking about. If that's you today, put your hand on up. I see you guys. I see you straight ahead of me. I see you over to the side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God, we accept you today in our life. Can we say, let's say this with me. God, I want to spend my life partying with you. And I want to spend eternity in your celebration. So right now, in this moment, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. May I turn away from my past life and take my next step in a growing relationship with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much today that when the rich man, the businessman, the married man didn't want to come to your banquet, you said this, go compel those that are broken, bruised, battered, and worn. Compel them to come in. There are more than enough seats. God, you're never going to make us feel like we don't belong, but you're going to welcome us to the banquet table at your party. And today, God, we accept that invitation freely. We don't just RSVP for a day to come, but God, we show up today to sit and celebrate. For all those hands that were raised and all those souls that made the decision, we celebrate that with you today, God. We love what you do. We celebrate what you have done. We celebrate what you are doing. And God, we look to celebrate intentionally what's still to be done in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate. Everyone who just put your hand.